Good morning, and may it please the court. The issue before the court is the interpretation of the tolling of the statute of limitations for sales tax refunds pertaining to the date of overpayment of sales taxes for which Section 144.1902 applies. In this particular matter, Crescent entered into a contract for a single sale for a single and cohesive industrial hot water system that took 6 months to complete in another state. It is undisputed that the taxes paid by Crescent to the state of Missouri were erroneous. It is further undisputed that Crescent's practice was to remit taxes upon receipt of payment rather than delay payment until the tax return was due. Furthermore, it is undisputed that Crescent sent the purchaser of the single product several invoices that itemized the order of material and were inclusive of the broader sale. And upon receipt of payment, Crescent made separate sales tax payments beginning in March 2013 and concluding until November 2013, as was its ordinary practice. These payments pertain to a single sale for which the content made the taxes due and payable in November 2013. Crescent properly applied for a refund on May 11, 2016.
What is the evidence in the record as to whether it's a single sale or multiple sales?
The testimony of Crescent.
And they said, the owner said?
Well, it was the intent of the parties, which is why we referenced the Uniform Commercial Code concerning the freedom of the contract, that it was the belief of theirs that it was a single sale.
But the Administrative Hearing Commission found, my question, is that a factual determination or is that a legal determination of whether or not what is a sale? Because they found each of those invoices was a separate sale.
Yes, and so I believe it would be a legal determination in that regard, and that is some of the questions before the court today as to how the tolling of the statute of limitations would be applied. While the Ford Motor Company case remains precedent in interpreting the meaning of the date of overpayment, we respectfully suggest that when applying Section 144.1902, and as the DOR suggests, the Ford Motor Company case, we suggest that the court also look to the Code of State Regulations, 12 CSR 10.102.16, and that the legislative intent therein be considered. The reason for this is simple. In the Ford Motor Company case, while setting precedent for the meaning of the date of overpayment, the case never entertained, considered, narrowed or repealed the supporting Code of State Regulations 12 CSR 10, which was in fact promulgated during the Ford Court's Supreme Court appeal. As the court in Ford Motor Company rightfully stated, the question is the meaning of the date of overpayment. The court rightfully looked to the legislative intent as revealed by the standard of statutory construction and the context of the Missouri Tax Code to apply a meaningful precedent that prevented such extraordinary interpretations of the meaning of the date of overpayment. While the Ford case was being prepared for appeal, the Code of State Regulations, 12 CSR 10, was in fact being promulgated. Speculation would suggest that the Code of State Regulations was not addressed in the Ford case either because it was not available or because it was not applicable given the facts in Ford. However, it is the nature in this particular sale, the application of the Code of State Regulations, and the facts that distinguish not the precedent, but the facts in this matter from the Ford case, that make it logical to deduce that the sales taxes were due on November 2013. The reason this matters is because while the Ford definition of the date of overpayment applies, it is assisted in this particular matter by the Code of State Regulations 12 CSR 10-102. And when applying the totality of the sale and the facts in this case, the Code of State Regulations adds clarity and implements the proper application regarding the tolling of statute of limitations as envisioned by the legislative intent.
So you don't think the regulation and Ford are inconsistent with each other?
No, I don't find that the Ford court considered the Code of State Regulations.
Oh, I understand that, but it said what the term meant, and what it said it meant is different than what the regulation meant. So how do we reconcile that?
Through the facts of this case being applied before the court, considering the facts in the Ford case. The facts in the Ford case were an egregious overreach of the date of overpayment, where Ford was trying to compound numerous thousands of sales of automobiles over a duration of 3+ years, and was further trying to stack onto that an additional look back period of 3 additional years. This case is nothing like that.
The commission said that even if it agreed with your reading an application of the regulation, it still wouldn't matter because we're back to the first issue of whether we have multiple sales or a single sale.
Certainly.
So this isn't truly an alternative to the first argument. It's the same argument, right? Either way, whether it's single or multiple sales is dispositive.
It is important whether it's single or multiple sales, and the argument that we have is that it was a single sale based upon...
Right, but if it's a multiple sale, then the CSR argument doesn't save you because...
Yes, that's correct, if it is multiple sales. But we rely on the facts of this case to be distinguishable from Ford, wherein this component that was produced required intense engineering and had to be 100% assembled for it to even function. Whereas Ford sold numerous automobiles, those automobiles were final and were drivable and fully functional. This machine that was purchased was not fully functional until 100% of the product was assembled, which took 6 months.
Well, in effect, from what I read from the record, it seems like you thought the first sale would be sufficient, but then something else was needed, so something more was sold. And then an additional final thing turned out to be needed, so it was sold. But that could have gone on indefinitely for repairs. For how do we distinguish replacement parts? You can't operate without
I think in this case, Your Honor, respectfully, I would look to the intent of the parties and the actions of the parties. The actions of the parties was a specifically engineered hot water system that was rather complex. 95% of that system was shipped in February, but the meat and the potatoes, the components that mattered most, had to be specifically engineered once that equipment was on site. And
so it was always known there'd have to be at least a second shipment.
A second or a third shipment to get it specifically engineered. It had nothing to do with, you know, maintenance or repairs. It was simply getting the machine up and running. And the actions of the parties suggest that. I mean, they tried to get this thing built as soon as possible. It took 6 months. So it was a short duration. It wasn't 3+ years and separate individual components that were fully functional. The analogy I might draw would be a car, where you sell a car, the whole car is completed except they forgot to put on one tire. Well, the car is not really functional until the last tire is put on. In Ford, they sold many fully functional automobiles. In this case, they didn't sell a fully functional component until 100% of that was assembled.
Why three invoices then? So why not just invoice at the end of the when the structure was finalized and built?
Your Honor, it's a good question, but the testimony at trial was it was the actions of the parties that participated in this, how that was their standard course of action. It was also their standard course of action to simply forward the funds to the Director of Revenue upon receipt at the closest quarterly return to act in good faith and in best practices.
And I guess isn't it reasonable for the AHC to say, well, there were separate invoices, so these were separate sales?
Well, that is in fact their argument, but I don't think an invoice constitutes a sale. And in fact, the invoices here, I believe, predominantly dealt with material, just the material, not the actual engineering and the servicing component included therein. There are no further questions. I'm happy to yield the rest of this time.
Chief Justice, and may it please the Court, Peter Reed for the Director of Revenue. The Commission held that the statute of limitations clock began in April of 2013, and this Court can affirm that ruling on any of three different grounds. The first is by giving the phrase date of overpayment its plain and ordinary meaning, the day the overpayment was made, and that was April 26, 2013. The second basis for affirming the commission is to look at the date of a tax or the definition of a taxable sale. when goods are sent out and consideration is received in return, that's a complete sale and is taxable and must be reported on the next sales tax return. That sales tax return was due in April of 2013. And the third basis for affirming the commission is to look at what happened on the ground here with the sales tax. When a seller receives sales tax from a buyer, it must remit that sales tax to the state on its next tax return. Again, that tax return in this case was due in April of 2013. So in any of these three bases, both the date of overpayment and the due date occurred in April of 2013, and so the May 2016 tax refund application was untimely. Start with the date of overpayment. The court asked earlier whether this Ford Motor decision was inconsistent with the regulation. The regulation defines date of overpayment as either date of overpayment or due date. And for the reasons I just discussed, I don't think that this actually makes a difference in the outcome. Under either one of these definitions, the commission has to be affirmed because the due date and the date of overpayment were both in April. But I don't think that the phrase date of overpayment is ambiguous. I think it has a plain and ordinary meaning, and that's what this court found in Ford Motor Company. That's the direct holding of that case, the date of overpayment.
And that regulation seems to still be in effect and has been in effect for this long period since Ford with no change. What are we to make of that?
Your Honor, I would say a couple things in response to that. One, there's a difference between a regulation being on the books and being in effect. I think that Ford Motor, the timing was odd. The regulation was issued, became effective 2 months before Ford Motor was issued. So there's that kind of strange timing issue. But the principle is fairly straightforward. A later decision that is inconsistent with an earlier regulation controls. And again, for the director, I think you can, as far as the director is concerned, you can affirm the commission either under the Ford Motor's holding or under the regulation's definition. But when you have a case like Ford Motor that says, this language is unambiguous, and I think
well, presumably the director tries to follow our decisions, so must have assumed that Ford didn't affect its regulation because it wouldn't, I would hope, knowingly have an inconsistent regulation out there for 15 years. So
right.
What was the director doing?
Right. The regulation came before Ford Motor, and I think that it was just ships passing in the night in this instance. But again, I don't think that the regulation changes the outcome in any way. I think the court can follow either Ford Motor's holding or the regulation, but I do think that Ford Motor controls, not only because of its holding, but also because of its reasoning. So Ford Motor explained that the refund statute acts as a limited waiver of statutory immunity, of sovereign immunity. You have a limited waiver of sovereign immunity, it must be strictly construed. And it was for that reason that Ford Motor gave the phrase date of overpayment a narrower meaning. And I think the regulation is inconsistent with that reasoning and also with the holding in Ford Motor. I'd like to move on now to the other two reasons why this court can affirm the commission. First, the definition of a sale. And second, the principle that sales tax that is collected must be remitted. Start with the definition of sale, which is found in 144.010.12, or the definition of a sale at retail, which is found in 101.13. A sale occurs when goods are transferred and consideration is returned. The problem with Crescent Plumbing's argument that there was only one sale is that there was an exchange of goods for consideration on three different occasions. It's not simply an invoice. It's the fact that the invoice elicited payment from the buyer to the seller. So in December, goods were shipped out, and in January, consideration was paid on that invoice.
Would you agree with opposing counsel that that's a legal question, not a factual question?
The ultimate conclusion, whether there is a sale, legal question. The underlying facts, that goods were sent out, that they were invoiced, that each invoice had a different order number, and that consideration was paid on each invoice. Those are all facts, and I think they're undisputed facts.
Does it make a difference that his last statement was that those invoices were just for material? Like if I'm building a house, the contractor goes out and buys certain things for the house, and I pay at the time, but I don't pay for the whole contract till the end of the contract.
So there's a difference between a contract and a sale, Your Honor. There can be a contract for a whole hot water system that is made up of three different sales. And a sale is determined by statute. Whether there's a taxable sale is determined by statute. And a sale is defined by a transfer of goods for consideration. So because there was an invoice and the invoice was paid, or three different invoices and three different invoices were paid, that means there's three taxable sales. And the first two of those sales occurred in the first quarter of 2013.
So in Judge Draper's hypothetical, if you were paying on getting your kitchen remodeled or whatever, and you paid invoices every month as they were working, you would owe tax, you're saying, on those as you paid them, even if the work was not complete.
Exactly. Just because I am paying a contractor to buy a house doesn't mean the contractor doesn't pay sales tax when they buy paint. Having a contract for a complete system doesn't change the fact that there's an individual sale that contributes to that larger contract.
And what's the language in the statute you rely on to reach that conclusion?
So the language in the statute is 144.01012, which defines a sale. And then if you look at the next section, it defines a taxable transaction. And then when you jump a few sections down to 144.080, it explains when gross sales must be reported and sales tax paid on those gross sales. So that's the very first subsection of 080. And it says in that section that when you have a sale that is taxable, you must report that sale on your next sales tax return. In this case, that's the April 2013 tax return. And that's, frankly, exactly what Crescent Plumbing did here. Once they received payment, and this is what my opposing counsel said earlier, I think he would agree, once they received payment, they reported it on their next tax return. That's what the law requires them to do, and that's what they did. The due date of that is April.
That's the due date, which takes you back to the regulation.
Exactly, Your Honor. So whether it's defined by date of overpayment, which was April 2013, or the due date, still April 2013. Like to move on to the third point, which I think is also very intuitive, which is...
Is the third payment not an issue here then?
That's absolutely right. So the third payment came in, the third transfer of goods was in June. Payment was received in July, and that sale was reported on the November 2013 tax return. The director already refunded the sales tax paid on that third sale because that third sale did occur within 3 years of the tax refund. Returning to the third point, I think it's important to recognize not only that Crescent Plumbing received payment three different times, but also that they received sales tax payment on three different occasions. In other words, in January of 2013 and in March of 2013, the buyer sent sales tax to the seller. And when a seller receives sales tax, they can't simply sit on that. They have to remit that sales tax to the Director of Revenue.
And would that be true if this was one, if in some sense this was one sale, the fact that they received sales tax at point A and point B meant that they had to remit those within that quarter, correct?
I think that's right, Your Honor. If you go back to point 0801, when you have a sale, you have to report that sale. And when you receive sales tax, you have to remit that sales tax. And the sale must be reported and the sales tax must be remitted on the next tax return, whether that's monthly or quarterly. In this instance, it was the quarterly tax return that was due and filed in April of 2013. And that starts the clock. Whether it's date of overpayment, April 26th, the due date to report the sale, which is April 30th, or the due date for remitting the sales tax that they collected, which was also April 30th. In each instance, the statute requires the payment in April of 2013. And so under any of those grounds, the May 2016 refund application was untimely. Again, only as to the first two sales that occurred in the first quarter of 2013, not as to the later sale, but when you have three sales and three collections of sales tax, you have to treat those differently, even if they're based on one bigger contract. Three taxable sales, first two sales occurred in the first quarter, that has to be reported in April of 2013, and it was, and that means that the refund application is untimely. If the court has no further questions. Thank you.
Thank you. I would suggest that the regulation that was created in the CSR is not inconsistent with Ford. It rather reflects, greater clarity to the Ford outcome. But what was interesting about the CSR that was created during the course of the Ford case, appellant's brief was submitted in mid-September, and the CSR was prepared on September the 30th. So there was no way that appellant's brief could have considered the CSR in the light. But I would also argue that that CSR would not actually add any light to the Ford case. The Ford law still is good, compelling law. But there's a difference here between remitting and due. The sale and the contract were over a six-month period, and ultimately the taxes were in fact due in November. The law may require them to be remitted upon receipt, which is the good actions of my client, but the due date would have been November when the sale was complete for that last quarterly tax return. And that is important because of the statute of limitations for 3 years.
So opposing counsel says there's a difference between a single contract for sale in the vernacular versus what's considered a sale under the tax code, and that under the tax code, the sale and sales tax are a different thing and occur every time you pay.
There is certainly a distinction between a contract and a sale. I mean, you can have a contract that extends, that includes multiple sales. The distinguishing element in this particular case, though, are the facts. The sale here was one cohesive unit. It was not numerous units that were fully functional autonomously. None of the sale that took place here was considered an ultimate end. It was rather the combination of all three that crafted the sale, the shipment of the product and the goods. And it was upon receipt of that when my client dutifully submitted the remittance of taxes, but the due date was November.
Are you then disagreeing that the key date is the date of overpayment and arguing that it's the due date?
There's a distinction between remittance and due date, Your Honor, is what I'm suggesting, if I understood the question.
So you're saying remittance is the same as date of overpayment?
Yes, I will concede that the date of overpayment is the date of remittance. However, considering the CSR, the date of due date extends the statute of limitations, and wherein the CSR would then add light to this whole component. The case we suggest is different than facts in Ford when applying the totality of the sale and the facts of the case, and the Code of State Regulations therefore adds clarity and implements the proper application regarding the tolling of statute of limitations as envisioned by the legislative intent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for a good argument on both sides. Mm-hmm.